Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. When I mentioned the phrase, the 11th hour, what comes to mind? Perhaps the words desperation, panic, or waiting come to mind. The 11th hour is a time often wrought with anguish and helplessness. One definition of the 11th hour is the latest possible time before it is too late. A friend and I used to jokingly describe it as a time that is beyond running, that we are so late that even running wouldn't get us there in time. Many of us have experienced this race against the clock and felt desperate. Perhaps it was meeting a project deadline or getting ready for an exam or planning for an event. Time was running out, and we felt a rush of helplessness as we scrambled to get things done. Those are familiar 11th hour moments. Some 11th hour moments take much longer to unfold. As some of you know, my family left Taiwan and moved to the U.S. in the summer of 1985 in search for a better life. When we arrived, we relied on the promises of the American dream and the good graces of our relatives who helped us settle in. My sister and I adapted to a new high school while my parents, who were then in their 40s, were trying to figure out how to restart their career in a foreign land. That first year, there was a date circled on the calendar of our hearts, February 24th, 1986. That was the day our tourist visas would expire and we would all become undocumented. You see, my father, who had worked as a banker in Taiwan, was so confident that as long as we were able to enter into this country, even on tourist visas, he could find a job that would provide him a work visa that would then keep us here. But as the days and weeks went by with no job offer in sight, our situation became more and more tenuous. We waited with heavy hearts as February 24th approached. And since returning to Asia was not an option, we would have to figure out just how to live in this country if nothing developed. On February 18th, 6 days before we would become illegal aliens, my dad was hired by a bank in downtown LA. If the 11th hour was the latest possible time before it is too late, that was our family's 11th hour. It was an experience we won't forget, and certainly with the recent national conversation on DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, we have often wondered how different our lives would have been if we hadn't received favorable news at that 11th hour. Now, the 11th hour is not foreign to our scriptures also. In fact, if you look up where the phrase came from, the references actually point to our gospel reading this morning. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who needed help, And he went out early in the morning at 6 o'clock to hire laborers for his vineyard. He returns to hire more workers at 9, at noon, 3 p.m., and finally at 5, which some translations actually refer to as the 11th hour. At the end of the day, to the surprise of those hired at the first hour, all were paid the same daily wage regardless of how much each person worked. Those hired in the early part of the day immediately complained about fairness. Even though they were paid, each paid their promised wage, they grumbled. How can we toil under the sun, work such long hours, and get paid the same as those hired at the 11th hour? They were indignant because it just did not add up. In their world of fairness, working more meant getting paid more. That is how it should have worked. But the landowner in this parable, for him, the generosity was much more important than fairness. He did know that he was expected to pay the workers according to their work. But the landowner was being generous, probably because he understood that all these men had needs. After all, these men were day laborers, people who lacked a steady income, people who started each day not knowing whether they would be able to feed their family that night. These were 11th hour people. So even among these men, imagine those who waited for 11 hours that day, getting passed over 4 times while watching others get hired throughout the day, each time getting their hopes up. And maybe because they weren't strong enough or skilled enough or charming enough. So I wonder what went through their minds as the end of the day approached with no work and no pay in sight. Yet they waited, likely because even if they got to work just 1 hour, they would be bringing home something. So imagine what they must have felt when they found out that they would take home a whole day's wage. Perhaps the landowner had empathy and recognized that they were in need, each of them, that regardless of how much each worked, all of them had needs. His was a justice not based on fairness, but a justice based on believing that the needs ought to be met, a justice that flowed out of empathy and generosity. For the kingdom of heaven is like this landowner who saw the needs and responded with unexpected generosity. In the kingdom of heaven, God provides generously to all of us, even if it doesn't make sense to us. And in the kingdom of heaven, we all are called to do the same. Justin Chang, a film critic who writes for the LA Times, recently wrote in a movie review, "Empathy is the natural antidote to envy." To have empathy is to practice emotional generosity so that people can tell their stories without being judged, without being interrupted. So if we only knew what was going on in the life of another person, we might not be so quick to compare and to judge. If we only empathized first, we might not feel as envious of how another person is treated. Even the disgruntled laborers, those who were hired first, I wondered if they had heard the stories of those who weren't hired until the 11th hour, how helpless it felt to wait. Who was waiting for them at home? How shameful it might have been to return home with nothing. I wondered if they would have responded the way they did. Empathy is a practice of emotional generosity. It helps us hear the stories and see the needs. With empathy, it is easier for us to share and to give away. There are many, many 11th hour stories out there to share and to receive. So what is your 11th hour story? Might you share it with someone this week? And how might you practice empathy and generosity this week by listening to someone else's 11th hour story and how their stories have shaped who they are? The good news in all of this is that the God in this parable, the God of Jonah, the God in our psalm today, is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God responds, not based on what we deserve or what we expect. Instead, God responds through empathetically understanding our needs. The good news is when we practice empathy and overcome envy, it doesn't matter anymore who is last and who is first, because we recognize that we are in this all together, standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind. Such is the kingdom of heaven on earth, a place of radical welcome, where stories are heard and needs are known, and God is calling all of us to be a part of making that happen. May the God of unexpected generosity, profound empathy, move us towards empathy and grace. Amen.